You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show! Guess, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Try a new feature now. Check it out.
This is Phone In Politics, and I'm substitute host Murray Taylor. Our regular host, Gunther Magnuson, has been missing for 5 days, but there's probably nothing to worry about. This is just something he does. In the meantime, we're still talking about Jeb Bush, and the question on everyone's mind, why are we still talking about Jeb Bush? My guest is Ron Brakeman from the New York Times. Ron, your take?
Well, my son is 6 years old, and Jeb Bush's voice has an interesting effect on him.
Sorry to jump in here, Ron. We have a call, and it might be Gunther. Hello, caller. You're on Phone In Politics.
Hi. Long-time listener. So Republicans are obviously rejecting the establishment candidates, and it's like it caught everybody by surprise even after what happened in 2012. So my question for you guys is, where do you think animals go when they die?
Gunther, I recognize your voice.
I'm not Gunther. I'm Laura from Mendocino.
Gunther, where are you?
Are you going to answer my question?
Hi, Laura. Ron Brakeman from the New York Times here. As a matter of fact, C.S. Lewis said animals go to heaven when
Ron,
they die.
Ron, please.
We're not alone in the universe, Murray.
Gunther, you need to tell us where you are.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Gunther?
If I could just tie these two ideas together here. Animals in heaven is a populist idea, like Trump. So there's that.
We have another caller, Anne from Southgate.
Hi. Hey, Ron, my son also has a reaction to Jeb Bush's voice. Whenever Governor Bush talks, my son curls up in a fetal ball and just points at the TV.
That's exactly what Kenny does. And then he starts saying that nursery rhyme.
Yeah, over and over until the other kids can't stand it.
Ding, dong, bell, pussy's in the well.
Who put her in? Little Johnny Green.
Ding, dong, bell, pussy's in the well. Who put her in? Little Johnny Green.
We have another caller. Hi, you're on Phone In Politics?
Yeah, I have a question about politics.
Gunther.
Spirits are watching us at all times. We know that for a dead certainty, but what we don't know is whether they're parallel beings.
Gunther.
Or dead animals.
Gunther.
I'd like to address this if I could.
Ron, goddammit.
A pro-Bush super PAC is actually shutting down, and there's a kind of sense right now that the super PACs may not be worth the money.
That is interesting. Thanks.
Gunther, where are you? Next caller. You're on Phone In Politics.
Question for Ron.
When my son hears Marco Rubio, he levitates. Is that normal?
Yes!
One more call. This is Phone In Politics.
I'm taking you with me, Murray, someplace special. You're going to be glad.
And that's it for Phone In Politics. If the pattern stays the same, Gunther will be back next week. Everything will be fine.
All right. This is the Thunderbolt for September 29th, 2023. So I need to update listeners real quick here, as I am in the middle of a personal project that is taking nearly all of my time and energy these days. And I haven't produced a new show in a couple of months now. And that state of affairs is likely to continue at least until the spring and possibly even into summer. I do have 9 years' worth of archives to choose from, so it's not like you're going to keep hearing the same things over and over. And fortunately for the show, but unfortunately for the world, most of my old shows are still relevant. So this week's show features nomination number 4 for the official Thunderbolt Most Evil Persons in History Award. That, due to poor planning on my part, originally aired over 2 different shows, but that I have now combined into a single show for this rerun. I am thinking you've likely never heard of Sidney Gottlieb. Well, after this week's show, you may well wonder why you have never heard of Sidney Gottlieb. Enjoy! And now, ladies, gentlemen, and various permutations thereof, it is time for yet another nomination for the official Thunderbolt Most Evil Persons in History Award. And we are happy to announce that the 4th nominee for this dubious distinction is Sidney Gottlieb. Sidney who? So here we go. In his novel, Cat's Cradle, author Kurt Vonnegut Jr. invented a scientist who in his spare time invented a method of, quote, teaching water, unquote, to freeze at room temperature. He called this new form of ice, Ice 9. Now, this scientist did not invent his Ice 9 to end the world. He simply thought that it was an interesting thing to do, so he did it. His Ice 9 eventually infected all of the water on the entire planet, killing everything on the planet except ants and a few humans. And then we have someone like Richard Gatling, who invented the Gatling gun, and who said of his terrible invention, quote, it occurred to me that if I could invent a machine, a gun, which could in its rapidity of fire enable one man to do as much battle duty as 100, then it would, to a large extent, supersede the necessity of large armies, and consequently, exposure to battle and disease would be greatly diminished. Huh. Well, that sure worked out, didn't it? In other words, Richard Gatling wanted to make warfare such a deadly and terrible thing that no one would want to engage in it anymore. Such naivety is refreshing in a way, or at least it would be refreshing if the results hadn't been so utterly horrific. So, Sidney Gottlieb represents a chip off of this block. Sidney Gottlieb was actually a caring person who considered himself to be a humanist, even as he was trying to help rid the world of the communist scourge. As was the case with the vast majority of Americans at that time, Sidney Gottlieb 100% bought into the pervasive propaganda of the time, stating that communists posed an existential threat to both freedom in general and to bomb and apple pie in particular. And Mr. Gottlieb sought to destroy communism by torture and with poison, literally. Sidney Gottlieb was certainly America's most prolific torturer of all time. And that is saying something. And Sidney Gottlieb also spent many years, technically, as the CIA's chief chemist. Now, you may remember all of the CIA's crazy attempts back in the day to kill Fidel Castro. They tried slipping him cigars laced with botulism. They tried gifting him a wetsuit that had been infected with a skin-eating fungus. They tried slipping various lethal pills into Castro's tea. And all of these methods of attempted assassination had been invented by Sidney Gottlieb. And Castro was far from the only world leader targeted by Mr. Gottlieb's unique methods of dealing lethality. So, you would think that would be crazy enough simply by itself. This guy was the inventor of all kinds of crazy ways of clandestinely dealing out death. And he was traveling the world doing just that. However, there's more. Sidney Gottlieb was also more responsible than any other single person for the spread of LSD in the 60s and the 70s. Not Timothy Leary, not Ken Kesey, not Stanley Owsley. It was frigging Sidney Gottlieb, a frigging government employee. And now, as promised, we have part two of the Thunderbolts Most Evil Persons in History Award, nomination number 4, which goes to Sidney Gottlieb. Now, as I mentioned at the end of part one, Sidney Gottlieb was not only the father of LSD, but if you don't think that's crazy enough yet, it was one of Sidney frigging Gottlieb's programs that initially turned on Ken frigging Kesey. For you see, Sidney Gottlieb had incorporated LSD into the MK Ultra program, wherein the CIA was seeking methods of destroying people's brains so that they could then make that person think whatever the CIA wanted them to think. Or mind control, in other words. So LSD proved to be ineffective at this task, but the MKUltra people did find other methods that did indeed work for breaking people's minds, if not controlling them. and they often employ those methods to this day. Now, while large parts of the MKUltra program are now public knowledge, what was not public knowledge until recently is that Sidney Gottlieb was both the father and the chief administrator of the MKUltra program. Now, the original head of the CIA, Alan Dulles, did indeed consider Mr. Gottlieb's project to be ultra, because if the CIA could learn to control other people's minds, then that meant nothing less than global mastery, which seems to be those people's ultimate goal. But don't ask me why anyone would want to run the whole world in the first place, other than the fact that they are simply insane. Yes, even the CIA's proudest accomplishments up to that time, which would have been the overthrow of the governments of Iran and Guatemala, even those accomplishments would pale to utter insignificance in the face of being able to control other people's minds. And of course, very early on, they realized that in order to take control of someone's mind, they needed to first destroy the mind that was already there. And thus, destroying minds became a central focus of the MKUltra program. They hired several ex-Nazi doctors who had literally worked at the concentration camps, up to and including Kurt Blohm, B-L-O-M-E, the chief of the Nazi biowarfare program, in order to assist them in their studies of how to most effectively destroy someone's mind. Before Gottlieb's arrival, the project had been scattered and uncoordinated, and indeed, Alan Dulles brought Sidney Gottlieb on board specifically to have one single person coordinating all of these efforts. In addition, Sidney Gottlieb worked without supervision. Alan Dulles and his sidekick, Richard Helms, almost certainly knew the broad outlines of what Mr. Gottlieb was up to. But when it came to the nitty-gritty details, no one really wanted to know what Mr. Gottlieb was up to. That was almost textbook need-to-know kind of information, and this is actually a common practice in intelligence circles, because if you don't know, then you aren't responsible. After some of the details of MKUltra became public, CIA officials claimed that there was just this one crazy guy doing all this crazy stuff back in the day, and that evidently he had not been, quote, properly supervised, unquote. Failing to mention that this lack of supervision had been very conscious and intentional on the part of Mr. Gottlieb's superiors. No one has heard of Sidney Gottlieb before, because Sidney Gottlieb worked deep in the shadows that only recently have received some light. Hardly anyone working within even the CIA itself at the time
had ever heard of Sidney Gottlieb. He was like a ghost. Stephen Kinzer, who literally wrote the book on Alan and John Foster Dulles, who were also nominees for the Thunderbolts Most Evil Persons in History Award, by the way. Mr. Kinzer said that after he had discovered Sidney Gottlieb, he felt as if he had found, quote, the most powerful unknown American of the 20th century. For over a decade, Sidney Gottlieb, working in complete secrecy and with a virtual license to kill, carried out a large number and a wide variety of thoroughly grotesque experiments on untold thousands of human beings over three continents. This included mass torture, mass murder, and medical experiments that might have given pause to Joseph Mengele. Yes, this humanist, Sidney Gottlieb, was responsible for an untold amount of thoroughly nasty death and misery. Mr. Kinzer learned that Mr. Gottlieb had not only tried to kill Castro, but he had also tried to poison Patrice Lumumba, the elected and popular Prime Minister of the Congo. And as a result of these discoveries, Mr. Kinzer became interested in Sidney Gottlieb and quickly learned that inventing poisons to kill foreign leaders was actually just a minor sideline for Sidney Gottlieb. Sidney Gottlieb was, in fact, into all kinds of seriously deep and thoroughly nasty stuff. Sidney Gottlieb had sanction at the highest levels. Upon delivering his poison to the Congo, for instance, the CIA station chief, according to his memoirs, had angrily asked Mr. Gottlieb who authorized this operation. Whereupon Mr. Gottlieb replied, "The President Eisenhower authorized this operation." Okay. And another thing about Sidney Gottlieb was that he was always the odd man out at the CIA. Virtually all of the other officers were silver spoon elites who had been in the same fraternities in the same elite colleges and or were involved with the same banks or investment clubs.
And the man in the rain picked up his bag of secrets and journeyed up the mountainside, far above the clouds, and nothing was ever heard from him again, except for the sound of two bugle bells.
Not only was Sidney Gottlieb not an elite, but indeed, Sidney Gottlieb was from a family of Jewish immigrants. Sidney Gottlieb stuttered and limped. And another totally crazy thing about Sidney Gottlieb was that in the early 1950s, Sidney Gottlieb was a freaking proto-hippie. Not only in his enthusiasm for LSD, but Sidney Gottlieb also lived in an isolated eco cabin with no running water. He meditated. He studied Buddhism. He grew his own vegetables. And he got up before dawn to milk his goats. Sidney Gottlieb seems to have been one of the most gentle-hearted torturers and mass murderers on record. Maybe it was the LSD, because Sidney Gottlieb became became so fixated on LSD that in 1953 he convinced the CIA to spend $240,000 to purchase the entire world's supply. He used some of this LSD to conduct horrific experiments upon prisoners in America's prisons. And abroad, Gottlieb's experiments were even more brutal, as in many of those cases, he did not need to even worry about how to dispose of the many dead bodies that his experiments produced. He experimented upon destitute refugees and North Korean prisoners of war, amongst others. He not only used LSD, but he experimented with every kind of drug and extreme a technique that he could imagine. And he seems to have had a pretty wild imagination. According to Steven Ginzer, Sidney Gottlieb performed, quote, the most extreme experiment on human beings that have ever been conducted by any agency of the United States government. So I'm running out of time for this week's show, meaning we're going to need to continue the Ballad of Sidney Gottlieb for my next new show, which due to some personal reasons will probably not air until the January 15th show. So tune in then. And actually, this is a rerun. So you're going to hear part 3 right after a quick station break. We'll be back in a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Now, it is time for part 3 of the Thunderbolt's Most Evil Persons in History Award. Nomination number 4, which goes to Sidney Gottlieb. So in parts 1 and 2, which aired on the December 20th show, I revealed that Sidney Gottlieb was the father and the chief administrator of the CIA's infamous MKUltra program, which represented a major CIA effort at mind control. Listeners also learned the totally crazy fact that part of the MKUltra program resulted in turning on an entire generation of Americans to LSD. I also explained how Sidney Gottlieb was the CIA's poisoner in chief, who conducted foul medical experiments upon thousands of people over 3 continents in order to develop methods of destroying people's minds. Or failing that, to develop numerous and varied methods of dealing out clandestine death. I also revealed the fact that as a result of his MKUltra works, Sidney Gottlieb became the most prolific torturer in American history. Anyway, the turning on of America to LSD came about after Mr. Gottlieb incorporated LSD into his MK Ultra experiments. In some of these experiments, Mr. Gottlieb used LSD as one of his many tools of torture. He did this by seriously overdosing people and or by keeping them under the influence of LSD nonstop for weeks on end. It turns out, in fact, that the infamous gangster, Whitey Bulger, was one of many inmates in American prisons at that time who were subjected to being dosed with LSD for many days on end. And Mr. Bulger later stated that this experience had changed his entire life. Though he was evidently displeased with those changes, as Mr. Bulger also expressed a desire to go and, quote, kill the doctor, unquote, who had administered this experiment. However, Mr. Gottlieb also wanted to know how ordinary people would react to LSD under normal conditions. And so the CIA contracted with several universities to conduct experiments with LSD upon volunteers. And it turns out that one of the very first volunteers for this program was Ken Kesey, who participated at the Veterans Hospital in Menlo Park, California. Well, Ken Kesey loved LSD so much that he got a job at that hospital specifically so that he could steal their LSD, which he did indeed subsequently do. And then Mr. Kesey went home and turned on all his friends. And in a side note, Ken Kesey also used his experience working at that hospital as the basis for his novel, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And meanwhile, over at Stanford, amongst the first volunteers to participate in their LSD program was famed beat poet Allen Ginsberg and Grateful Dead lyricist Robert Hunter. All of these people absolutely loved the stuff. They all told their friends to come on down and volunteer for Mr. Gottlieb's program. And soon thereafter, LSD leaked out into the public at large. And then, when Augustus Owsley learned how to manufacture the stuff, Mr. Owsley then pretty much dosed the entire nation. And what this means is that Sidney Gottlieb, a CIA operative who was one of the most prolific perpetrators of crimes against humanity in the 20th century, was also the individual who first turned on Ken Kesey, who first turned on Allen Ginsberg, and who first turned on the Grateful Dead. Thus, Sidney Gottlieb became the unwitting godfather of an entire counterculture whose central aim was to destroy everything that the CIA was and everything that the CIA stood for. And as for Sidney Gottlieb's other experiments with MKUltra, they were numerous They were crazy. They were widespread. And most of them were highly criminal. Just one of the 146 programs that Mr. Gottlieb administered, for instance, was called Operation Midnight Climax, wherein a CIA operative named George Hunter White, who was a bizarre character in his own right, set up a bordello in San Francisco, and he hired prostitutes to dose their customers with LSD so that Mr. White could then watch on camera and record what happened. When the lid was finally blown off of MK Ultra, Sidney Gottlieb was soon to be dead, and thus the CIA was most happy to escape accountability for MK Ultra by blaming everything on Gottlieb, stating that things were just crazy back in those days, and thus Mr. Gottlieb was able to perform all his actions without anyone upstairs knowing anything about it. Which, as I mentioned, was indeed true in a purely technical sense. But as I also mentioned, this is only true because Mr. Gottlieb's superiors didn't want to know what Mr. Gottlieb was up to, specifically because they could then avoid accountability if, when the lid were ever blown off of his activities, by truthfully being able to claim ignorance. And of course, the final bizarre twist to this story is the aforementioned fact that Sidney Gottlieb was not a sociopath. In spite of everything, Sidney Gottlieb appears to have had a conscience. After retiring from the CIA, and after destroying all records of MK Ultra, it was obvious to many people who knew him, as well as to Seymour Hersh, who interviewed him during this period, that Sidney Gottlieb was a very troubled man. After his retirement, Sidney Gottlieb and his wife spent 18 months running a leper hospital in India. And then Mr. and Mrs. Gottlieb spent his final years looking after the dying at a hospice. And when Sidney Gottlieb died in 1999, Mrs. Gottlieb declined to provide a cause of death. But in spite of all the misery and death perpetrated by Sidney Gottlieb, and despite all the lives that he destroyed, the actual toll of death and misery that Sidney Gottlieb caused pales in comparison to that caused by men such as his boss, for instance, Alan Dulles, who was directly responsible for the deaths of many millions, if not tens of millions, of innocents. Or even compared to some of the more famous mass exterminators, such as Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, and Pol Pot. Still, the bizarre nature of the harm Sidney Gottlieb caused, and the fact that, unlike all of the others, Sidney Gottlieb did not have the excuse of being a sociopath. And thus I feel that qualifies him for a nomination for the Most Evil Persons in History Award, if not the actual award itself. And so now we end this cautionary tale. Whatever lessons you take from this bizarre chapter of American history.
Rest of the hour with some music now. Here's something a little different for you. This is the Tom Tom Club.
Thank you. in papers, words in books, words on TV, words for crooks, words of comfort, words of peace, words to make the fighting cease, words to tell you what to do, words are working hard for you, eat your words but don't go hungry, words have always nearly hung me. Nuance, words of skill and words of romance are a thrill. Words are stupid, words are fun. Words can put you on the run. Mots pressés, mots sensés, mots qui disent la vérité. Mots maudits, mots mentis, mots qui manquent le fruit d'esprit.
Oh,
was from the Tom Tom Club. That tune was called The Wordy Rapping Hood. Before that, we had On, On, On. That's it for the regular show this week. Hope to see you next week. In the meanwhile... The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And please note that the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can now go directly to the Thunderbolt WordPress site, which is at dana98501.wordpress.com.
Thank you very much.